Please take your Bible, turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 14, I'll be reading verses 25 to 35. Expand a reference to God, which is read. Luke chapter 14, beginning verse 25. Now, great crowds were traveling with him, so he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, wanting to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he has laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man started to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or what king, going to war against another king, will not first sit down and decide if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If not, while the other is still far off, he sends a delegation and asks for the peace. In the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. Now, salt is good, but if salt should lose its taste, how will it be made salty? And is it fit for the soil or for the manure pile? And throw it out. Let everyone who has ears to hear listen." Let's see if you can hear from my croaky. We were talking about the previous verses in chapter 14, and we looked at a situation. Jesus is at a banquet, and the host has provided a meal, and Jesus is there reclining at the table, and someone says to him, verse 15, "Blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, sometimes we just say things without really thinking about it, and that seems like what's going on. The guy says, "So, isn't it going to be good in heaven? Isn't it going to be good when God sets everything right?" Not understanding the depth of his statement. Not understanding truly that the one that's bringing the kingdom of God is right there at the table with him. And Jesus gives a parable. A parable of a banquet. A man decided to have a banquet. He sent out invitations. And I'm telling them that as soon as the banquet's ready, I'm going to let you know what time to show up. Well, the banquet's ready. And he sends his servants to let the people that have been invited know the banquet is ready. And one of them says, "Well, I just bought a piece of property, and I've got to go look at it, so I can't come to the banquet." Another said, I just bought 5 oxen, and I've got to go check them out and see how well they work, so I can't come. And another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." Well, think about this for a moment. This is Jesus talking about the kingdom of God that's been prepared. He is coming as the one promised by God to set everything straight, the Messiah, the one whose miracles show that he is God in the body. And he's coming, and he's inviting the religious and all the people of Israel to come, acknowledge that he is the one to follow. But no, I can't really do it. Now think about their excuses for a minute. "I just went and bought a piece of property, but I haven't looked at it yet." How many people buy a piece of property without looking at it? You check out the land. There's land for sale all over the place. All around us with new developments. location? Is it where everybody's yard is going to drain into your yard? Is it right on the edge of the road where everybody's going to come through and it's going to be allowed? Like, no, you examine the piece of property first before you buy it. So his excuse is just about as bad as the next person. I bought 5 oxen. I need to check them out. How many people buy a car without a test car? It might fall apart as soon as you drive off the lot. Now, this person is given an excuse that really they don't want to come, but they're just making up some excuse. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Israel as a whole wanted everything given to them, but they didn't want to pay the price of following Jesus. And Jesus then continues his parable and said, tell my servants to go out to the city and invite people in. The outcasts, the maimed, the lame. Jesus is here talking about the ones the religious leaders wouldn't welcome into the synagogue, into the temple. They're invited into the people of God. The servants come back and say, we've invited all those in the city to go outside the city and invite more. And here Jesus is with his parable saying, the kingdom message is going to go outside of Israel to the entire world. The message, come to the banquet of God, is open to everyone. And Jesus says in verse 24, for I tell you, not one of those people who were invited would join my banquet. The ones that should have been welcoming Jesus as the Messiah, as the promised one of God, lost their opportunity to be first in the banquet. And now we shift gears a little bit as we come up to today's message. Jesus has been in a house at the banquet. And now it says, now great crowds were traveling with him. So he turned and said to them, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And lots of people are following him. Jesus had just got through telling a parable about people that didn't want to follow God's plan. And now we got all these people following him. And then he turns to them and says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate me from the father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying our priority must be following God. Have you ever been in a situation that you were facing a choice and you had your family tell you what kind of choice you should make? Don't do this. Be sure you do something here. A lot of times when children are looking for what they're going to do after they become an adult, or parents or their siblings, parents especially, will say, well, you need to do a job like this. But don't do a job like that. There are many cases that the choices are influenced by the comments made by family members. And this is true in our commitment to Jesus Christ. Many people live in a situation that if they announce their commitment to Jesus Christ, they're abandoned by their family. Now, some people will be in a situation that they are even kicked out of their house in some culture. Some places you can face punishment by death in some countries of the world because you have renounced your religious faith in your family and chosen this Christianity thing, following Jesus instead of following another family God is following. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, the opinions of those closest to you cannot be more important than the truth of following me. You're going to have to make a choice. Are you going to listen to what your family says, or are you going to listen to the truth of following me? Don't know who's talking to the crowds who are following me. And he's trying to tell people, don't follow me unless you understand the seriousness of this decision. And then it says, even your own life. Many people have died for their faith. There's a book that was out, an older book came out for a while. Many people have could be added to the books. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it lists people from the reported through history that died for their faith. They took a stand even though they knew they were going to die. Jesus then goes on to say, and whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now some of you might have heard people saying, oh well, that's just my cross to bear. Talking about some burden they have. That's not what this means. Carrying your cross does not mean carrying a burden. Well, I've got a bad knee, so that's just my cross to bear. No. 2,000 years ago, if you saw somebody carrying a cross, it wasn't that they were carrying a burden that they were, you were going to see them that afternoon carrying that burden, see the next day carrying that burden. They were going to die. They were not coming back later alive. And what Jesus is saying, you must die to yourself. What you want to do, your goals, your vision for your life, you must die to in place of God's vision, of God's goal in this region. Dying to yourself. Well, behind the screen is our Baptist screen. And during a baptism, that represents the dying to the old self and rising again to a new life in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus gives another parable. Said, if you want to build a tower, don't you consider the cost before you build it? Otherwise, you lay the foundation, you can't finish it. Now, across the road over here, there are all kind of roads. They're finally getting houses, but they didn't have houses there for 20, 25 years. All the roads were put in there. There was a development plan. And all they got was the roads because the development was bust. And you still see all these unusual names of the roads. They're based on that original development, not on the new houses that were going there. And the person didn't consider the cost of fixing. Now, as all these houses are going in around us, people are looking to buy a house. Before you buy a house, you need to consider the cost. It's not just the cost of buying the house. There's closing fees. There's maintenance costs. There's insurance. There's taxes. There's utilities to pay. There's upkeep. If you're in a homeowners association, those dues to pay. And there's all kind of unexpected things in it. Not just the basic thing. I'll make that choice to buy that house and that looks nice. I can afford it. But can you afford all the other things? Jesus says you need to consider the cost of coming. pay the price. A lot of people have made decisions to follow Christ and didn't follow through. They didn't keep their commitment. As long as it was comfortable, they would follow Jesus. But as soon as God called them to do something that stepped on their toes or became difficult, where it challenged them to rely on His resources and not their own, they fell away. No. If the churches today had half the people on their wall that show up, they could be able to sit them in. The auditorium. A lot of people's names are on church walls. Do they consider the cost when they make a commitment? Then Jesus gives another parable. What king going to war against another will not first down sit down and decide he is able with 10,000 to oppose the 100,000 against him with 3,000? If not, while the other is still far off, he sends a delegation to ask for terms of peace. Jesus is reminding us, when we face our will and our wants and our desire against God's plan, we're putting ourselves in a position of war against God. Can we earn our way to heaven on our own? No. Can we be right with God on our own? No. The only way to be right with God is to get peace from God, God's way. We must come to God and ask for peace, forgiveness of our sin, and follow His way. We are not going to win the war against God. And then our passage ends with, now salt is good, but if salt should lose its taste, how will it be made salt? In Matthew 5:13, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Have you ever thought about what salt does? Do you know when you go to the hospital and they hang that IV, they're giving you salt water? If they gave you pure water, they would kill you. Because your blood has a balance of salt, and your blood cells, if they gave you pure water, then the water from the IV would go in and explode your blood cells. If they gave you water in an IV that has too much salt, your cells would shrivel up and just do right amount. It is a lie in our blood. You know, salt, you go out to eat, and wherever you go out to eat, that's fine. Going home to eat a lot of times, you like to put a little salt on the food. Because it adds flavor. Bring salt to the earth, bring it adds seasoning, flavor to the earth. Salt also creates a thirst for water. And Jesus is the living water. Salt is also a preservative. Before refrigeration, a lot of food is salted down to preserve it. Salt, if it doesn't add flavor, if it doesn't work as a preservative, if it doesn't create a thirst, it's useless. It's just thrown out and put a newer body. Place where nothing will benefit from it. We are called to make a choice, to consider the cost. Is our family more important than being right with God? Family is important. And Jesus is not saying go out and hate your family. He said in comparison to loving God, your consideration of your love of your family would be like hate. Anytime there's a choice between what God says and what your family or yourself says, it should always be what God says first. What about thinking that you can be right with God your way when you're still trying to say that I'm going to get to heaven my way? God says, your way is the best way. It's like taking a shovel. Trying to build a mountain to get to heaven. You suddenly realize you've been digging a hole, not a mountain. We need to realize that we're the Word of God and talk to us. Many times we choose to do our way instead of God's way. It gives us uncomfortable God. Take the word sin. Do you know what's at the center of sin? I doing what I want to do regardless of what God says. We have a world that is coming as close to God to say, do your thing. Forget about God. Describe Romans chapter 1. Group of people who suppress the truth. Even though they know what the truth is, they push down the truth and do what they want to do. God says, consider the cost. The cost of following Jesus is going to lose you relationships with those that know how to God says. And it gains you eternity in life. You can't take any of your possessions with you. That's why Jesus says, don't lie in your possessions. Go verse 33. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. You're not going to take anything with you. Your funeral will not have a trailer of all of your stuff on it, making you enjoy it. Because once we die, we're in the presence of God. We can't think anything more. We can see things ahead. Spread your head for a cause. Following Jesus is not cost-free. It costs Jesus everything. He gave everything so that when he completed his work, he said, it is finished. Everything was completed. It's completed. So that now we have access to that in the cost of our future. What cost are we not going to pay? Are you sure our name is passed? We're going to face it every day, following Jesus, following ourselves. Following Jesus, following what other people say. And Jesus leads us in the way. There's always a place that he's coming back to take us to be beautiful. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more tears. A choice. Lord, you you have paid the price for our sin. And you have called us to make a choice to put you in first place in every decision, first place in our life, more important than everyone, friends, family, even ourselves, more important than possessions. You have called us to consider the cost because it's a permanent decision for today, following you. Let us consider the cost and follow you, because that's the only hope we have. In Jesus' name.